Blog Talk Radio.
I touch your lips and all at once the sparks go flying. Those devil lips that know so well the art of lying. And though I see the danger, still the flame grows higher. I know I must surrender to your kiss of fire. Just like a torch, you set the soul within me burning. I must go on along the road of no returning. And though it burns me and it turns me into ashes, my whole world crashes without your kiss of fire. I can't resist you, what good is there in trying? What good is there denying? You're all that I desire. Since first I kissed you, my heart was yours completely. If I'm a slave, then it's a slave I wanna be. Only let me borrow. Love me tonight and let the devil take tomorrow. I know that I must have your kiss, although it dooms me, though it consumes me. Your kiss of fire. Then it's a slave I wanna be. Don't pity me.
Happy Monday. You're listening to the Garden of Enlightenment, and this is usually a show by Louie Wilda, but unfortunately she's been under the weather and won't be hosting tonight. My name is Gray Eyes Smith, and this show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets, and we have anthologies available on amazon.com with poetry from poets around the world. So feel free to check those out and help support the arts as they help to support these shows. So that's the gist of tonight. It will be based on selections from the Blank Permission Board and also some open poetry as well. So thank you for calling, or thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate you. And I'm going to go to the board here and we'll take a look and see who's calling. Hello, Laurent. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Gray. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. Looking forward to the night.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Awesome. Okay, I'm going to post a link to the group here. And this is by Fallon. And would you mind giving that a read for me, please, Laurent?
Sure.
Thank you.
Let's see. How many more shall I kiss by Felon? Fresh water sleeps on the lily's tips. Poise learns for a baptizing to the dreamer's grip. Wishes leap from a thousand toads. Their desire just wants to be owned. Willing to drown for that one moment of his release. Labor he creates when you say, more, please. Reflection pulls the sip of passion's parallel with burst lips from the cliffs that dive beneath the hips. End poem.
Fantastic read. And, you know, that was, it was a well-rhymed, well-rhythmed poem. It had excellent flow. You know, you can feel the longing in this for the that deep, passionate kiss that, you know, the sip of passion's pursed lips from the cliffs that give beneath, the dive beneath the hips. That's some passionate stuff there. What did you think, Lauren?
Well, it's nice and succinct. You know, 63-word brevity that says what it has to. I quoted the last three stanzas from Labor He Creates When You Say More, Please, down to From the Cliffs That Dive Beneath the Hips. And in quoting the last three, the first five, I thought were very readable, had me in their grip. And how many more shall I kiss? Why, as many as you wish.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. Okay, I'm going to go to the next poem here. Post this to the group. Here we go. This is by Garden Delights, and it's called Honeyed Kisses. The thrills I seek, I have found in you alone. Cuddling close against your chest. Honeyed kisses on my forehead. My insides are warm chocolate melting away. End poem. And what did you think of that, Lauren?
Well, I'm just, I was a little bit behind you, so I'm just finishing the read. The metaphor of our insides warm chocolate, when you have warm chocolate in your mouth or in your stomach, you really know you've got it in there. And chocolate just satisfies the senses, leaves that nice warm feeling. And what causes all that? Why, the cuddling and the honeyed kisses. These are the thrills she seeks. And there's only one person in which she found those thrills. And I assume this is written to that individual. Nice job.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. This is by Griswold. I haven't seen him around at all lately.
Really?
Busy man? Busy man?
I guess. Life gets
in the way. Mind. I'm sorry?
Life gets in the way.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Blow a Kiss. This is a Curiel sonnet by Griswold. And it is 13 years old, which is interesting. I like seeing older pieces. Walk off and blow a kiss to me, keeping me guarded, safe and free. Close my eyes, don't have to pretend. I just love kisses in the wind. Arms wrapped tight, feeling quite secure. When with you, I'm innocent, pure. You and I are the perfect blend. I just love kisses in the wind. When we touch, the feeling is sublime. Need to be near you all the time. You, I found a lifelong friend. I just love kisses in the wind. Walk off and blow a kiss to me. I just love kisses in the wind. And poem.
That was a great read, Lauren. And, you know, how touching a poem when, you know, when you're looking for that kiss blowing on the wind. It's just a beautiful poem. Arms wrapped tight. Arms wrapped tight, feeling quite secure. When I'm with you, I'm innocent, pure. You and I are a perfect blend. I just love kisses in the wind. Just a beautifully haunting poem. What did you think, Lauren?
I thought it was written just like a song, actually. Walk off and blow a kiss to me, keeping me guarded, safe and free. Close my eyes, don't have to pretend. I just love kisses in the wind. You know, not that I can sing, but it's set up to sing, which I find very appealing. It's a nice piece.
Well said. Thank you, Lauren. Great job singing as well.
And, I don't think so.
Okay, got the next one here. Okay, here we go. Okay, sorry, just give me a second here. There we go. And this is by OMG, it's CPB. And it goes like this. When I found myself, I lost you when I found myself. 'Twas late August, and I was dying to get out. The day was hot, the house was cold. Birds were singing, and choirs were joining along. I had a secret I kept, and a plan I put into action. I lost you when I found myself. It was worth it eventually. I loved you when I met you, and that never went away. But even if the stars burned out and the moon collided with the sun, I still lost you underneath a pale sky, and it was in the same, all in the same month. Wow. That's painful stuff. Yeah, you know, when you are having such a wonderful time in life and you lose the one that you love, it's got to be tragic as well. Just a wonderfully written poem. What did you think, Lauren?
Well, it's interesting that when he found himself, he lost her. You know, he had a plan, he says, kept it secret. He put it into action, and what do we hear? I lost you when I found myself, and it was worth it eventually. So he's ready to give her up despite all that, because he had found himself, and I assume by that he came to some sort of a compromise with himself, or finally discovered what it was to be who he wanted to be, or he finally separated from her, something he had been unable to do prior. Now, I don't know which one it is, but I think it's well written, and it's got something to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. Okay, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Sure. The Hurt Locker by Jess Garan. Lost in the moment as his heart pounds, breath labored and fingers growing colder. His fresh open wound gushes for worn nerves, tickled with the air, rich with iron, as he collapses in on thy within himself. Welcome to the Hurt Locker. We've camouflaged to a blossom, speaking spring with lips fragrant, across which the setting sun rests in a slumber. The bluebird calling, courting calls, giving a breather from weariness. On lonely dark nights, as we stare at the sparkling black sky, I love how the night has a dark secret mystery to it. Even when the world is at its darkest, it still has a pale, frigid light to guide us. The stars still shimmer and shine on us. Sunshine breaks open the dawn, storm battered and rain assailed. The silence of the dark night bringing the hope again. Life becoming surreal, dreams a reality, end of the rainbow. End poem.
That was a beautiful read, Lauren. Excellent read. And, you know, I like the imagery and, you know, the emotion in this. Welcome to the Hurt Locker, where you camouflage into a blossom, speaking spring with lips fragrant across which the setting sun rests in a slumber. The bluebird's courting calls, giving a breather from weariness. You know, you can feel all that and see it as it happens in the storyline. I thought it was a wonderful write. What did you think, Lauren?
I like the piece. I'm not sure I understand the direction it's going in. Lost in the moment as his heart pounds, breath labored and fingers growing colder. His fresh open wound gushes, for raw nerves tickled with the air rich with iron as he collapses in on thy within himself. Right about there, I'm not sure what he's saying, whether it's someone else or within himself, because of the way the line is written. But I think the Hurt Locker is possibly the individual, what he feels. Well, where you camouflage into a blossom speaking spring with lips fragrant. If I'm going to use the word camouflage, he's introduced himself into the scene, so to speak, but in camouflage, he's not very visible. And then he follows up with Lonely Dark Nights, and loves the dark secret mystery to it. It's almost like when the world is at its darkest, it still has a pale, frigid light. So I guess that might be the when it's darkest before the light, when it's darkest before the dawn, excuse me. So I guess it's a poem that urges us to keep faith, because regardless of how dark it is, there'll always be a light that comes along to shine, to relieve us from our misery, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. Well said, Norbert. Thank you. Okay, we got the next one here. This is by Nobody Special. And it goes like this. Grey Wolf and the Moon. Grey Wolf once lived in the spirit world, and he was in love with the moon spirit. And the moon was in love with Grey Wolf, too. Grey Wolf's love knew no boundary or limit. Sun Spirit was in love with Moon, too. And the Sun Spirit was terribly jealous because he thought the moon was beautiful, and his love made Sun Spirit jealous. One day, Grey Wolf was picking flowers for Moon Spirit when the sun appeared. Said, "Brother Grey Wolf, those flowers are okay, but the flowers on Earth are most revered. On Earth, he picked flowers for the moon. They're the most beautiful, but the sun had lied and tricked Grey Wolf because leaving spirit world, you cannot return. So at night, Grey Wolf looks up and howls. He's telling the moon it will not be forever. He's saying, one day, my love, I'll return, and we will, and then we again will be together." End poem. I liked it. It was a nice storyline, you know, being tricked to being trapped out of the spirit world has got to be hard on any individual for sure. And the separation and that pain that brings has got to be trying and hard. What did you think, Lauren?
I thought it was a really interesting way of retelling another legend from the First Nation, if that's what it is, although the title of the contest was Why the Grey Wolf Sings, or Why the Grey Wolf Howls, is it? Grey Wolf Sings, yeah. And he puts out a poem that's really well written, tells the story, and does it convincingly enough. The next last stanza? On Earth, he picked flowers for the moon. They're the most beautiful. The sun had lied and tricked Grey Wolf. The leading spirit world, you cannot return. There's always somebody ready to play the trickster. And it has lured him right out of the spirit world. I can't believe you didn't edit this poem. It was made for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't know it was on.
It's a nice piece. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Yeah, it really was. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Lauren.
Yep. You might as well just say, your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn.
Yeah.
This is by Oak Blue, 34. Morning at the farm. Morning sun fractures gray clouds with yellow splashes, rouses mockingbirds from their silent overnight slumber party. Cat stretches, pads his white paws, plots his lustful revenge. Family standard poodle dreams of chasing chickens in the barnyard. Evening, hot sun sinks at the edge of sky. A ray of pastel orange, dots wisps of clouds, noisy mockingbird quiets, white cat curls tail around body, purrs in peaceful bliss. Poodle dreams of being a puppy, chasing his tail in fits of joy. End poem.
I really like that. That was a pretty poem. You can see all this happening, you know, the morning sun fracturing the gray clouds with yellow splashes, and, you know, the mockingbirds being roused from their sleep, and, you know, the cat and its doings, and the dog and its doings. I thought it was well written. Excellent flow and rhyme. What did you think, Lauren?
Well, he's basically cut the poem in half, two stanzas, both pretty much resembling each other in terms of their form. And I like the way he presents the morning and then the evening, using the same characters to show their activity level in the morning and then in the afternoon by Kyle, or in the evening by contrast. And I thought it was nicely done, pointing out the differences. It has a storytelling flavor to it, which I like. And I thought it was well written.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful read, Lauren. Great comment. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. Check the studio real quick. Oh, we have Pam. Hi, Pam. Welcome to the show.
Hey,
yeah,
how are you? Good to hear. Good to hear you both. Doing good.
Awesome. Glad to have you here. Appreciate you calling. Okay,
absolutely.
I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Tam.
Oh, I see how it is. You just crack that whip and put me to work right away.
All
right. I'll be happy to. This is Uneven by Orentz, and it goes like this. They don't like things that don't fit in. They don't like things that are askew. And dreamers with their silly grins, like me and you, they don't like things that are ajar. They like them closed and or open wide. They don't like talking to the stars, so they draw lines. They point and stare and then berate, as mine is quite a crooked tower. On earth we bend in two strange shapes that are just ours. The wounded butterfly they caught, misshapen thing that curved and jut, an extra eye or quirky thought they want to cut. The gnarly tree that won't sit straight, that's full of wind and flapping wings, it makes them itch and irate, yet how it sings. Uneven minds want perfect pairs to neatly sort their fears and doubts. They try to stuff their hearts in squares, but it cries out. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And, you know, this is definitely an epic poem on the subject of fitting in and, you know, how hard that can be in this earthly world of ours. You know, they don't like things that are ajar. They like them closed or wide open. They don't like talking to the stars, so they draw lines. I didn't like that. What did you think, Lauren?
Oh, this is very, very good. I was pleased to see that it's based on a Shel Silverstein prompt. I don't know the exact prompt, but the wounded butterfly they caught, misshapen things that curve and jut, an extra eye or quirky thought you want to cut. There's so many people out there who want things a certain way. And if it's not that way, and if it's different, changed in any fashion, they don't like it. This isn't, you know, the way it should be done. It should be this way. It should be that way, etc. So it's a nice little commentary on society and people in general. Nice piece. Has a lot to say.
Great. Absolutely. Thank you, Lauren. Great comment. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I really liked this. It had wonderful rhyme and flow. And I really like that it reminds us that we're not all going to fit into the same box. It's excellent right all the way through. But I particularly was drawn to the wounded butterfly they caught, misshapen thing, that curve and jut, an extra eye or quirky thought they want to cut. The whole idea that we want to change, that people oftentimes want to change what doesn't fit into their perception of what people should be and so, or what nature should be. And so just an excellent write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. An excellent read as well. Okay, I've got the next poem posted up here, and I'll give that a read. Okay. This is called Swimming. This is by Paul Brott, and it's called Swimming Birds and Flying Fish. In Tina's words, in Tina's world, the birds can swim above the clouds, be those of fins, gifts from gods, these birds and fishes, Tina's friends, more than just dishes. Higher up in clouds of heaven, Tina lived, though not yet seven. A future sign of hope eternal. Soon we'll see a flying turtle. Move the fishes to the skies, and pollution won't disguise the swimming birds, the flying fish. That's how Tina's world exists. So the next time that you cast a line, a blue jay's bite will feel divine. Find yourself above the clouds. Kiss a fish for crying out loud. End poem. I liked it. You know, it was lighthearted. It was entertaining. And I love the flying turtle as well. You know, you can see all this happening as she writes it. So it was a wonderful write. What did you think, Lauren?
It's almost, but not quite in that category of nonsense poetry. There's just a taste of it. Because it's something a little more serious, I think. Than just nonsense poetry. The image of that little girl with a fish. I initially thought the girl was doing dishes, and within the soap and the water was this little world of her imagination. But it didn't really move in that direction. But that's all right. I thought it was well done. Move the fishes to the skies. Their pollution won't disguise the swimming birds, the flying fish. That's how Tina's world exists. In the mind of a little girl, universes are created. Lovely piece.
Well said. Thank you, Lauren. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is another wonderful write. I really like what Lauren had to say about how it's almost nonsense poetry, but isn't quite, because, you know, the whole imagery is just absolutely whimsical and delightful and completely imaginative. And yet his language is very wonderfully straightforward. And I like how he shows us this world, this imaginative world that is part of what this little girl experiences. And then he throws in this line, move the fishes to the skies, their pollution won't disguise the swimming birds, flying fish, that's how Tina's world exists. So within all this whimsy and delightfulness is that stands of that serious message of that if we take away the imagination of this world and look at its reality, we cannot move the fish to the sky. It's almost like there's right smack in the middle of this poem is a serious message about what we can do about pollution. So I think this is an excellent write all the way through and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. Okay, Lauren, the next write is up, if you wouldn't mind, please. Did we lose Lauren?
Guys on mute.
Okay.
the mute button test at least once a night.
Yeah.
It's called Accept Yourself First by Poeta de Cabra. People see you as you are in reality. Think about it. You'll most likely agree. Life isn't much fun if you live it as a lie. Easier being yourself. No need to falsify. Better off being upfront and honest to yourself. Eases your mind and it's good for the health. Liking yourself gets harder with lies never ending. Better off being who you are, really, than really are than pretending. If not happy with yourself, friends are hard to keep. And at the end of the day, you'll find it hard to sleep. Obviously, beauty's always in the eye of the beholder. It tends to make much more sense as you get older. Not a good idea to be putting yourself down, to look in the mirror and watch yourself frown. Respect yourself. Only have positive thoughts, or you'll end up sickly, or at least out of sorts. You'll become beautiful soon as you accept yourself. Take a deep breath, relax, and learn to respect oneself. Then look in the mirror again at the lovely reflection, with eyes smiling, much happier without the deception. End poem.
That was a wonderful read, Laurent. And, you know, I like this poem about, you know, be yourself instead of being a lie. You know, you can pretend to be something you're not and get away with it. But when you look in the mirror and you see what you really are, that's going to bring you down. And I thought it was just an inspirational poem. What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree. It is an inspirational poem. You know, it's wonderful always to see the different sides of Poeta. You know, he's got his humorous side, and he's got this side where he offers up heartfelt food for thought. And I really like how this is about not only learning to accept yourself, but also to respect yourself. And I think it's just a wonderful light on self-worth, and it's very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Lauren, what did you think?
As usual, a nicely rhymed piece from Poeta with some sage advice. And I think you and Pam covered it pretty well. So I'll leave it at that.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. I appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to grab the next right here. Okay, here we go. Sorry, I'm taking so long. All right. Okay, Pam, when you see the link, could you give us a read, please?
All right. This is The One and Only by Pretty Bird, and it goes like this. Resplendent moon and onyx demise, afloat on eternity's embers, disease and court affection, boring holes in a future that has no light. Unicorn bliss and last girl standing Merlot, cruet covered and tarnished, a test of time and gnarled, faded hubris, splintered reflections of shadows, necrotic love, live bleeding in punctured storylines, where need to know rots, hope in subterfuge, breaking spines of books unwritten, words fall short and knees land too hard to ever rise. Broken in sin, we love lashed lads, the horn of hope, gouging reality in disintegrated yesterday's airborne dissemination is all that's left to breathe. Language shifts of shadows, the ghost of a moon. End poem.
A beautiful read, Pam. And, you know, how haunting is this storyline? Unicorn bliss and last girl standing Merlot. Cruet covered and tarnished, a test of time, in gnarled, faded, hubris, splintered reflections of shadows, just deeply haunting. What did you think, Lauren? Hello, Lauren.
I guess one test of the mute button wasn't enough. Damn it. Lord, sorry about that. I'm really moved by the writing. The image is kind of haunting. But necrotic love lies bleeding in punctured storylines where need to know rots hope and subterfuge. Now, that's the kind of writing that will get anyone's attention. It's rare to find a dark piece like this written with such beauty. But it's a hell of a piece. I like it.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, she just has a way with phrasing, with metaphors and imagery. And it's beautiful all the way through, but I particularly like that third stanza with the star of necrotic love lies leading and breaking spines of books and writing words fall short and knees land too hard to ever rise. There's such a sense of despair and hopelessness captured within those lines. It's an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And I'd like to welcome Louie Wildup to the show. Hello, Louie.
Hello. Hi, Pam. Hi, Laurent. Hi,
hey,
who else is on? Hi, who else
hey,
is on?
You?
Hey.
That's it. Just us four. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you get a chance to hear Pam's read?
Yeah, well, I got to hear the ending of it. I also liked that same stanza that Pam was quoted as reading. You know, because, you know, when you're involved with shadows, because shadows are something that constantly move and fade. You know, love can get splintered, especially if it's necrotic. The subterfuge that people, the mask that people wear, that you hope, well, maybe this time it'll work out, or maybe this time, well, this relationship, won't break me. But it ends up breaking your spine, and then, you just wonder, is it worth getting back up to go through this again? Is it worth waiting to see if hope will be able to overshadow the reality of disintegrated yesterdays? It can't. And so what we end up living with is not that person, but like she says in that last sentence, the way we think and remember things, language shifts of shadows, a ghost on a moon. You know, that's who you were always in love with, a ghost, a shadow. Excellent poem. Beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Louie. Okay, Louie, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Okay, all right. Dimensional Seasons by Randall S. Oh, what a cool picture. You finally arrive, with feminine symbols sprouting upwards, beyond humanity's tattered tank of mingled roots rotted by the devastation of liberty. Like a wounded mother, budding scarlet, with skin-toned branches waving aimlessly in a weep of spring pleas for lost children. Yet, beyond the stench of apocalyptic skies, washed in dead grays and burnt warnings that linger with a false sense of victory mocking us through cloudy lips, a light awaits malevolence to show its cunning face above natural wastelands before piercing stagnant veils with ethereal vaccines full of eternal promises. End poem. Wow.
Well, that was a deep poem. It speaks of a wounded mother, budding scarlet with skin-toned branches, waving aimlessly in a weep of spring pleas for the lost children. How deeply haunting is that? And then, yet beyond the stench of apocalyptic skies, washed in dead grays and burnt warnings that linger with a false sense of victory, mocking us through cloudy lips. It's deeply haunting. What did you think, Lauren?
The last stanza, which contains a light that awaits malevolence to show its cunning face above natural wastelands, before piercing stagnant veils with ethereal vaccines full of eternal promises. When, in this day and age, when you mention vaccine, there really is, I believe, only one subject. There is a sense in this piece that liberty, and I think I'm assuming it's a mother, like a wounded mother, in the image. If he's writing to that, he's writing about really the, as far as I'm concerned, the savior of man is always the mother, the one who takes care of us, births us, feeds us, tucks us into bed, shows us how to be a man or a woman. Mothers are so important, yet that mother is wounded, perhaps, and, you know, she weeps for her children, but she's enveloped by these apocalyptic skies, washing dead grays and burnt warnings. But, and even though the world around her is like that, there is that light that waits, and it's going to light up the cunning face of the virus. I think that's how it goes. I don't know, but it's really nicely written.
Thank you, Lauren. Great comment. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is absolutely stunning. I like the way he shaped his stanzas so they flow nicely visually, and just really some powerful lines. And I really like how there seems to be like a layered message here. Like, one kind of says, mangled roots rotted by the devastation of liberty. The whole idea, there's almost this message of personal freedoms taken away. But yet at the same time, when it talks about the mother, I couldn't help but think of the word devastation. It almost seems like there's this idea of the devastation of Mother Earth. And her mm-hmm. personal taken away. So I just think this is a wonderful write all the way through, powerful and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Louie, what did you think?
Well, this made me think a lot of the documentaries that I've been looking at and the fires that have been happening all on the West Coast. You know, it just makes me think, you know, a mother, you know, the Earth is our mother. And if you look at the different cultures and the different histories and everything, and we've written about this before, where the Great Spirit or another alien being or whatever you believe in told us that we were supposed to take care of the earth and take care of the animals in order for us to survive. Because not only does the earth die, it kills the ground underneath, it kills the air that we breathe, it ruins the sky with no rain. You know, it's the ultimate devastation of, liberty and freedom does not always mean you can do whatever you want. You know, you can't dump chemicals down the water and, you know, and hope it's not going to affect, you know, the children or people bathing. It will. You know, the thing is that we are our worst enemy. This is just fantastic. He did a fantastic job in writing this.
Excellent comment, Louie. Thank you. Okay, this next poem is by Inwak Bud, and it's called Welcome to the Ozarks. I live a life out in the sticks. The Ozarks is my home, where everyone knows everyone. That sure enough speaks the tone, sets the tone. 'Twas way back when my folks were young, the two young pretty cousins attended a reunion and had kinfolk by the dozens. Those girls were smitten by some boys, two brothers, 'twere a courtin'. Though adults, they would write down and do a little snort, whittle down and do a little snortin'. to figure out which brother was the right one for which girl. Then eat some biddies, dance some jigs, and give them both a whirl. Those fellers put their bead sacks on, ate matters and some greens, and chased them directly down with wheat milk heavy on the cream. Skedaddled down the road a piece, wound up down by the creek. Those girls were trotting on the heels of anglers with some tricks. I reckon they used sweet talk for them girls to give them sugar, and didn't need a fishing pole to bait each girl, then hook her. Them cousins were all gussied up, looked granny slapping good. Those clodhoppers jumped the broom, proposing, knock on wood. So the brothers married cousins. When the youngins came along, cousins, aunts, and double cousins sounded dadgone wrong. But that's exactly what it was. And to this very day, our family trees, like herding cats, who all got led astray. Life in the old garden, eh? I thought that was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it says in the author's notes, so yeah, my mother and her first cousin married brothers. So my aunt was my second cousin also, and her kids were my first cousins because our dads were brothers, and they were also my third cousins because their mom was my second cousin. True story. Wow, that's epic. I really liked it. You know, it had a wonderful flow to it, and the rhythm was great. Skedaddled down the road piece, wound up by the creek. Those girls were trotting on the heels of anglers with some tricks. I reckon they used sweet talk for them girls to give them sugar and didn't need a fishing pole to bait each girl and then hook them. Just a wonderful, right? What did you think, Lauren?
I was very impressed by this, right? Because it's a lot of fun. It's light. It gives family history. But when you get into the AN and you begin to see the complicated relationships and how things moved and turned, I've always been a little worried about ever marrying a cousin. But I, you know, it happens.
Oh, come on, Laurent! You ain't heard of kissing cousins?
Well, now wait a second. I'm not done, am I? But after reading what was in this poem, you know, I'm prepared to think that marrying a cousin is always, you know, I'm going to tell you something. My first marriage was to a girl from France who I met in Boston. When I went there, and the plan was I married her so she could stay in the United States and get a visa. And when I came back from Vietnam, boom, that was it. We're getting a divorce. But she waited for me. Met me on the pier. We were married 7 years, got divorced when I found out she was my cousin. Coincidence in the world.
I didn't
want any kids. It made me nervous at the time. I know better now, but still, very strange coincidence. Don't like the idea of marrying cousins. But back to the poem,
mm-hmm.
That's most important. She did a great job with this. But can write. I mean, she really can write. And she used the vernacular so nice. The dadgum wrongs and granny slapping good was nice. And there's all the things in there. Chasing directly down was nice. All in all, very nicely done.
Well said. Thank you, Lauren. Great comment. And thank you for sharing that little tidbit of storyline. Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this was fun. I always enjoy Bud's poetry. Oh, and just so you all know, she says in her comment that there was no incest happening within these marriages because the two cousins were related to each other and the two brothers were related to each other, but the cousins and the brothers were not. So, but, you know, wonderful, catchy rhyme, great little bits of humor, and I really like how she captures the youthful enthusiasm of that youthful enthusiasm when they're chasing skirts and or the girls are flirt it, and, you know, like, and I feel like as much as the boys were setting the hook, the girls were probably setting the hook just as much. Yep, exactly. And I like how
they
she
all got dudded up.
Exactly. And I like how she used some of what seems to be, I would guess, the local dialect. I really thought that added to the authenticity. So very cool and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Kim. And Liu.
Well, having participated in Ozark family gatherings, this is what happens. You bring your friends and your cousins, and you all, everybody gets all dudeed up and fancied up, and you just head on down there, and you not only do you get a sweet tooth, but you get a sweet tooth for some young man that's out there, and they're looking too. And, you know, and this is just, you know, part of the community. Everybody knows what everybody's doing. Everybody, you got your neighbors ratting on you and tattletelling on you because they know what you've been doing. You know, and this is what it was. This was youth. You know, and I really love some of the words she used on here that, you know, that my dad and my cousins used. Like, I liked when she said smitten and a courting and a whittling down and do a little some sorting. And, you know, there was a part that you read that just made me bust out. But, you know, this is what goes on during family gatherings. And it's not that anybody's doing anything wrong, you know. You're there to have fun at family reunions. And, you know, like she said, they all got married and all this was on the up and up, and they're no longer stray cats. They all dusted up and married now.
Yeah, I agree. Wonderful comment, please. Thank you. Okay, Laura, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All right. All right, this is called In Light of Winsome Shine by Ivy Rose. As the moon rose upon a starlit canopy, the diaphanous wings of petite marigold rays hit her golden fairy tresses with a blaze of winsome shine, showered her with moonbeams that set sparkles to dancing on her gown of a gossamer web, a trousseau of a black spider's making. Every creature in the forest glen looked up and took notice as this pixie lifted off, rode high, bobbing up and down in orange skies, caressed the burgeoning clouds as the mouths of the fae folk dropped open. All eyes were drawn to the glow of stars. Flurry of light settled over dusted gleams, like powdery dust falling down, reaching into the chests of heartthrobs. Marigold's value was in her splash of stagger as she reigned supreme over this fairyland. Will-o'-the-wisp oasis where human eyes could never rattle, squash the light of pixie lore. No human being could appreciate the panache of Marigold's pixie bangle bracelets. End poem.
That was a beautiful read, Lauren. And what a wonderfully fantastical poem. You know, it's the storyline is immaculate and, you know, descriptive, and was definitely engaging throughout. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I like this. Marigold is actually my 5-year-old niece's middle name. And I think she would. You know, this is one of those, and that's, it makes me think about how this is one of those poems, these story-style poems that young and old alike can enjoy. And Ivy has such a talent for that. There's wonderful imagery throughout, and I really like this. Dennis says, with every creature in the forest glen looked up and took notice. And then also, like powdery dust falling down, reaching into the chest of heartthrobs, Marigold's value was in her splash of stagger. She reigned supreme over this fairy land. I like that Ivy always seems to have this talent for bringing characters into a right that catch your attention, like a pixie that swaggers with confidence. So excellent right and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Liu, what did you think?
Well, I like the Will-O-Wisp Oasis because I hadn't heard that before. But what I like that stanza too. And I also like where she wrote the caressed by the burgeoning clouds as the mouths of space folk dropped open. And you could just see these little fairies. It says all eyes were drawn. The flurry of light settled over the dusted gleam. This is beautiful. And beautiful description, beautiful storytelling, bringing this little fairy person to life and the fairy folk. Enjoyable.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leah. Laura, what did you think of the rite that you read?
This is just a lovely little fantasy piece. And in writing it the way she did, she relates this wonderful little story, giving us a tiny slice of what's in her head. A story of the fantasies that all kids live with. And she does it so well, not just writing for children, but for adults as well. You know, when you talk about crest the burgeoning clouds, as the mouths of faith folk dropped open, all eyes were drawn to the glow of stars, flurry of light settled over dusted gleams. It reads out well. It paints a beautiful picture all the way through, top to bottom. It really is a wonderful little fantasy poem.
Yeah, well said. Thank you, Lauren. Okay, Pam, I have the next rate up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All right. You know, I was noticing, if you don't mind me saying, that this seems to have been written by two different poets, one Dabo, obviously, Jabo, and then her friend Barry. Perhaps, if you don't mind, Lauren might like to read Barry's part.
Oh, okay, sure.
I mean, I think that would be okay with that.
Are you talking about Jabo's poem, right? Okay.
Yeah, I'll read Jabo's part and you read Barry's. Okay.
Okay,
cool. Right. And this is Dueling Limericks by Jabo UK and her friend Barry. And it goes like this. While driving along yesterday, a guy cut me up on the way. I slammed on my brake. He made my heart quake as I had the clear right of way. I blasted my horn, but oh, gee, he got mad as mad can be. In my ears he abused, and the words that he used weren't nice to a lady like me.
Despite the innocence you claim, I suspect you were to blame. It's not your road, so use the highway code. Stop pushing in without shame. To get home quicker, you did strive, and through the traffic did duck and dive. This just causes congestion. So I have one question. Why are women allowed to drive?
You are wrong. I drive very well. Among the elite truth to tell, that man was just rude, offensive, and crude. He was the driver from hell.
Here we go with all the excuses. After giving him all those abuses, you should be aware, once you start to swear, your driving standard reduces.
'Twasn't me that was doing the swearing, it was the horn I was blaring. But he used a bad word that I shouldn't have heard. I'll admit to doing some glaring.
One fact that you cannot conceal is that a woman behind the wheel is a serious danger to each passing stranger. No wonder he uttered such spiels.
Men think they own the road, are far too quick to explode at ladies demure who are, for sure, obeying the rules of the road.
It is women that cause road rage, as the war on male drivers they wage. No woman can drive as well as a man. They haven't progressed to that stage.
Why, you old misgenerous you, put this in your pipe and go chew. Lady drivers are fine. They don't cross the line that men quite frequently do.
I have never proclaimed to be nice, though it may have occurred once or twice. There is no point in lying, since there is no denying women drivers should take men's advice. Women and cars do not mix. This problem we really should fix. They should buy a bike, or maybe just hike, or travel above on broomsticks.
Your aspirations are rather absurd. You've goaded and taunted and slurred. Despite what you think, you're wasting your ink from driving. I won't be deterred. Ha ha. I've had the last word.
I really liked that. That was great, you two. Excellent portrayal of these characters. You did wonderful, the both of you. But I really liked, you know, the battling limericks that went on here. Her flow is excellent, and her rhyme is spectacular. Despite the innocence you claim, I suspect that you were to blame. It is not your road raid, so use the it is not your road, so use the highway code and stop pushing in without shame. To get home quicker, you did strive, and through the traffic did duck and dive. This just causes congestion, so I have one question. Why are women allowed to drive? Yeah, you can see all this happening as you reiterate it. What did you think, Lee?
Well, you know what? I love J-Bo's sense of humor. And Barry, I think this was, his last name just lost. She says that the first two verses are from my poem, Road Rage, which I posted on another site, also here on AP, and the rest appeared as comments on that post. My friend Barry used to love teasing me, but sadly he died last year. Before he died, he said I could do what I liked with his responses. And she did. You know, she made him come back alive. The rhyme was excellent. The humor was fantastic. And I being on the road all the time, I don't know who drives worse, men or women. They both do.
Right.
Excellent. Absolutely. Excellent read, Laurent and Pam. I really enjoy it. You made it come alive.
Yeah, I agree. What did you think, Laurent? Hello, Laurent?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Once again, I mean, it's ironic that I was asked to read Barry again, because a year ago, Mindy and I read this, and I played Barry then, and it was a real pleasure to do it again, this time with Pam, so great stuff. I love the internal arguments, which is so well handled in this quite delightful and humorous collection of limericks. You know, I had a blast reading it.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. And Pam.
Yeah, this is really fun to read. And, you know, it was kind of one of those that makes you, because of the A, and it makes you sad at the same time, you know, for loss, that she lost a friend. But that she was, as Lou mentioned, that she was able to, you know, bring him back to life by, you know, using his responses, you know, part of this limerick. And the humor in it is just wonderful. I really enjoyed the back and forth. And just an excellent rush all the way through, and very well done.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Pam. Excellent read, you guys. And wonderful comments as well. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. Oh, activated. Lee, would you mind reading the next poem?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me hit refresh. Is it by J.E.G.?
Yes.
Okay, and this is titled Trapped by the poet J.E.G. 325. Clouds had stolen the moonlight from me, though it struggled valiantly to break free. This I noticed through leaves on the trees in a dark forest night full of melancholy. The trail I walked was leading to nowhere, and I stumbled often through brambles there, my tattered spirit shattered beyond repair, lost in the blackness chilled by deadly still air. Where were the night owls hooting loudly, crickets and bullfrogs speaking out noisily? Nary a bird stirred in this shadowy revere. Were they trapped just like moon and me? Then words whispered, a message mystically Next time my lunar friend showed clearly, I would also be free. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lee.
Wow.
And what a dark, haunting poem, you know. It says that that this is based of a dream, based on a dream he had. And, you know, how dark and dreary is this dream, you know, where the night owls hooting loudly, crickets and bullfrogs speaking of noisily, nary a bird stirred in a shadowy reverie. Where were they trapped, just like the moon and me? Just a haunting poem. What did you think, Lauren?
I liked it. It was a great deal. Hard not to like it. The words whispered a message mystically. Next time a lunar friend showed clearly, I would also be free. It brings to mind the question as to free from what? Free to do what? Simply free to be himself, perhaps? Because it begins, clouds had stolen the moonlight from me. It struggled valiantly to break free. And I wonder if he isn't also trying valiantly to break free, whatever mood he's
mm-hmm.
in or whatever is torturing his spirit. I mean, my tattered spirit shattered beyond repair, lost in blackness, chilled by deadly still air. I think the moon may be essential to his own mood. And the moon, of course, is struggling itself. It's a very interesting little piece, very mystical.
Great comment, Lord. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I have to agree when you use the word haunting, Gray. It really does have that kind of imagery. It's dark. It's haunting. I like that he describes this dream and the sense of fear that was in there and how he has the question, Mary, a bird stirred in the shell every, were they trapped just like moon and me? You know, the kind of idea of being in a poem where you're observing your surroundings and trying to understand it. I think it's excellent light and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Lou, what did you think?
Well, you know, I agree with Pam, you know, the word haunting. You know, the thing with this is that I don't know if any of y'all have ever woken up and you don't know where you are. So are you woken up to what's surrounding you in this darkness, or did you wake up in your dream and you're surrounded in this darkness? And the thing is, you know, that is one of the horrible things, to find yourself somewhere where you really can't see. There's death, and, you know, and that stuff like that, you know, maybe it's just my native blood, but when I go somewhere, I listen to what's around me. You know, I notice the birds, the dogs, the cats, the bugs, the, and for me to be somewhere in darkness and getting scratched and falling and not enough moonlight for me to see and not enough, you know, moonlight for the moon to show me my way out, you know, and for there not to be any night owls hooting, no crickets, no bullfrogs, you know, this is a nightmare. And you just hope that voice is telling the truth, that you can find your way out. That's terrifying.
Yeah, I agree. Well said. Thank you, Liu. Okay, I have the next poem. It's by Joseph Moon. It's called Wild Waves. Each wild wave pounding, like mine love, lorn heart pounding. They whisper songs of love to mine ears, whilst the white gulls witness mine tears. A storm from the ocean of life, beneath thundery skies of heartache and smile, blended with bitterness and despair, fear and weariness, the dark clouds encircle my loneliness. But I drank the pure nectar of nature's joy. I trod the sand's sorrows, dim and ploy, smiling at the stars, singing with the sea. Verily, mine spirit is set free with a superhuman stroke. I become a column of camphor smoke. I spiral towards the silver spheres, a supreme space of hope, sun's fears, and not a breath of mortality. Well, that was beautiful, right? I really liked it. Each wild wave pounding like my love forlorn heart pounding. They whisper songs of love to my ears, whilst white gulls witness my tears. Just a haunting poem. What did you think, Lord?
This is a poem divided into two. The first stanza about the dark, and the second stanza about the light, and the light is derived from, as the poet says, the pure nectar of nature's joy. I trod the sands on sorrow's dim employ. Superior rhyming, really. And he finds a way to be at once very pessimistic about the moment, and then in the very next, to be almost free of that darkness, I become a column of camphor smoke. I spiral towards the silver spheres, a supreme space of hopes all spheres, and not a breath of mortality. He denies his own mortality, his own death, or if he dies, he will live again and not even breathe of mortality. I love this particular piece, very tuned to the nature, to the natural world, to the spiritual world, and excellent rhyming. Well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. And Pam, what did you think?
I really like this. I like how he has the two separate stanzas. And the first one, the pounding of the waves represents the pounding of the lovelorn heart. And then how in the second stanza there's kind of this optimism. But I drink pure nectar of nature's joy. I try the sand sorrow deep employ. Verily my spirit is set free with superhuman stroke. I feel like this could be about surfing or sailing or any activity where you're taking on the wind and the waves. And there's this kind of this sense of that, even though nothing's ever mentioned about either of those kind of objects, but it just has that, some of the phrasing and words has this idea of enjoying and conquering and being part of the ocean. And so just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And Louie, what did you think?
You know, I really love this poem. You know, how many of us haven't been, our heart is heavy because we love somebody and, you know, we miss them. And, you know, we go to those places or where we go to nature to feel some peace or think we're feeling peace. And when we're first out there, you know, of course the waves are singing to us the songs of love and, you know, heartache and strife. But, you know, the longer we stay out there, you know, because waves are known to aid with depression. I forgot exactly what it does. But, you know, the longer we walk out there, the walking in those sands of sorrows, all of a sudden the stars come out at night and we start seeing the beauty of that person that was with us, and the beauty of what we shared with them that was with us, and the beauty of everything that surrounds us. And sometimes we just need to go out there and touch ourselves with nature and allow her to recharge our soul. This was a beautiful poem.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Lee. Okay, Lord, I have your poem up whenever you're ready.
All right. It's called Replay. Small portions of her life lived, 1,000 points of light tumbled into a depth of open corrugated boxes. Period dolls dressed in cotton and gingham, sparking a replay over and over in their minds. Wife sitting nearby, sobbing quietly, then loudly, opening a door into the crimson memory. Red-cheeked and mournful, she spirals backwards to a time when her third child pleaded, "Mom, I don't want to die." She watched that daughter pass, moments after telling her she wouldn't. Her mother's love aflame, a branding iron of pain across her spirit. Strength of stones, parents' world as I knew it, sobbed quietly sideways, blown out of a comfortable orbit towards a sun whose solar flares were capable of consuming as if darkness was not waiting. Half a year later, replays are fewer, sometimes more intense, penetrating the solar plexus and spreading in fractal progression. Time, the uncertain doctor, provides comfort insofar as may be, medicine taken on faith. Outcome in question. End poem.
Beautiful read, Laura. An excellent read as well. You know, you really dig into the pain of being a mother and losing a child. It fascinates me how you can connect to that, you know, that side of life. But, yeah, it's definitely a haunting poem and powerful to boot. Just beautifully executed, Lauren. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this isn't one of those kind of poems that's just not easy to comment on because it breaks my heart, but at the same time, I see the beauty in it, your choice of words and language to express your own heart. It's just absolutely spot on, as always. And the fact that you share such a depth of, you know, emotion with us, I think is a wonderful thing. This is just a beautiful, powerful, heartfelt write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Lee, what did you think? Hello, Lou. Just checking to see if she dropped. No, she's there. Hello, Lou. Well, she must be coughing. Welcome to the show, Frank.
Hello there, my friends. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Just recovering a bit. I thought this film here was very, very intense, very positive here. But, you just had to I like the fact that you know, this film is so great, you know, and beautiful when the words, it has its own meaning and its own expression. And I think it's wonderful. Just relaying here a very intimate thing of yours and making it understood to us in your fashion, in your way.
Thank you, Frank. I originally had written it in the first person. I don't think I could have read it in the first person. I had to throw it in the third person.
Yeah, I could feel the tone of your voice as well. It was very intense.
Great comment.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Nicole.
You're welcome.
And Lee, are you back?
Yeah, I had to unmute myself. Yeah, you know, a parent never forgets holding their child, especially a mother word that grows underneath their heart, and then especially the father once the baby's born, he starts holding it and watches the child grow and progress. You know, the thing with this is that, yes, time does heal, but it also is very heavy because you didn't see them grow up and graduate and have children and go on with their lives and watch their children get married. There's a lot of things missing. And so there's an emptiness in your heart that just never, never fulfilled. And I'm not going to comment anymore because if I do, I'll start crying on the telephone, Laurent. This is heartbreaking. It's beautifully penned.
Thank you, Lou.
Beautifully. You
big softy.
Yeah, I'm a big softy. What can I say?
Yeah. I think we're all, I would suppose, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Frank, I put your poem up. The SoundCloud wasn't available for it, so if you could read that for me.
Yeah, I'd have to refresh. Just one moment. just bear with me here. All right. This is a poem here I wrote just briefly. I'll just give you a brief explanation here. I was listening to an old tune as a child, I recall, which was a James Ingram song, Once, Just Once. And that just gave me an inspiration for this piece here. So this is called Just Once More. And it goes like this. I know that I promised you the world when we met, but I guess that wasn't good enough in the end. As we are back to being strangers far away, seems that fate tore us apart from each other. I know that I am to be blamed for what went wrong with us. You gave me all the love that I needed in this life devotedly, but I was a blind fool to take your precious love for granted. Now I have to drown myself in the depth of an ocean of regret. Sometimes I just wonder, can't we find a way to make it right? Renew the magic that we had for only one more night, I ask. Make the old flame burn enough so it flickers into the sunset and wake up to the gentle touch of our soft lips again. Just once more, I want to hold you tight in my arms, tell you how much I still love you with all my heart, and I'm trying to understand why did it have to be goodbye when our magic was always there throughout the storms. Can't we just find a way to get back together? Because I still wait for you to return to me, mi amor. I can't erase the memory you walking out the door, and you left me crying on my knees in a pool of tears. I don't know how to make my love letters reach you. If they could, you would then know the beating of my heart and let them rekindle those memories we had shared. But I guess that's all I'll ever have of you, our indelible memories. I could see your pretty face and smile, see the sparkle in your beautiful eyes shine. It would make me forget the sorrow just once more. Mi amor, in the poem.
Well, that was beautiful. Excellent, right, Frank? I loved it, you know.
Awesome.
It's very sad, but, you know, and emotional when the relationship goes and you can't fix it. It definitely breaks the heart. Did a beautiful job, Frank. Laura, what did you think?
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, there are states of mind that are really hard to handle. Grieving for a lost family member, grieving for a lost love, and then that heartbreak of unrequited love. Now, after reading this, there was a time when the two were close, but in blaming himself for not taking her love as more precious and having taken it for granted, he wishes he could drown himself. He needs to find a way to make it right. And he wants that one more night just to see if the old flame will burn in us. And you know, that's kind of a forlorn hope. And I think the character realizes it. But just once more, I want to hold you tight in my arms, tell you how much I still love you with all my heart. I'm trying to understand why did it have to be goodbye when our magic was always there throughout the storms. It's sad that, as was previously mentioned, when lovers split and what they had is gone, because the two together made a third, and that third was greater than either one of the two, and now that third is gone, and then we're back to just the two, independent of each other, separated by time and distance. And as usual, Frank brings the emotion just when you need it. Nicely done, Frank.
I appreciate that, my friend. You really have some marvelous insight. You put it, said it so eloquently, and very appreciative of those words there. You really spoke from what my heart was saying.
Wonderful comment, Frank, Laurent. And Pam, what did you think?
She said she'd be right back.
Okay, thank you. Ruyu, what did you think?
Well, you know, this poem is just so deeply sad, you know, because It makes us, when you can look back, and you look at the promises that you made for with each other, is it or was it the lack of emotions and keeping in touch or not telling that person how much you really love them? You know, the simple things, you know, the regrets that you always carry with you. I wish I had. I wish I tried. I didn't. And how many of us wouldn't want this one more night to hold that person in our arms and to not to have to say goodbye, maybe farewell or I'll see you later, but to be able to hold them one more time, to see the happiness of your love reflect in their eyes and shine back to you, that sparkle of the eyes when you can tell somebody loves you. And it just, you know, to forget that sorrow just one more time, that's why we write poetry. One more time.
Absolutely.
Yes, beautiful piece, Frank.
I agree. I mean, this whole piece here, if I could just say one last thing. This piece was September is not a good month for me, simply because of the fact that it is the day that my divorce. So this was a song, this was a piece that I wrote here, looking back. Mm-hmm. And yes, I do take blame for what happened there. There was so much I could have done, and less I did. I'm taking granted for that. Yes, I did. So this is a poem that really just has my thoughts, you know. I just wanted to just meld my
beautiful
thoughts together here and just write what I was thinking at that moment. And, of course, that song, you know,
yeah,
we've all heard that song in the background, you know, we've heard that song. So that song really inspired me as well.
Absolutely. Wonderful job, Frank. Okay, I have the
thank
next link
sir
up. It's by Salon, and she has a SoundCloud.
I lost the one. I know, je sais, raped woman by a vile soul, neither dead nor alive, destroyed. I feel your wounds, you feel every piece of you bereaved. I know the swell of the sea heard your internal cries. I know even the sweetest breeze of wind will not cure your eternal burns. But I know the muse of your heart will touch your smile filled with tears. And I know one day your eyes will shine again like an azure sky, and your spirit will diffuse perfume like wild flowers. Femme violée par une âme vile, ni morte ni vivante, détruite, je sens tes blessures, tu sens chaque morceau de toi endeuillé, je sais la houle de la mer a entendu tes cris internes, je sais même la plus douce brise de vent ne guérira tes brûlures éternelles, mais je sais la muse de ton cœur touchera ton sourire trempé de larmes, et je sais, un jour, tu resplendiras de nouveau comme un ciel azur, et ton esprit diffusera du parfum comme des fleurs sauvages. And so on.
Well, it was deep and haunting. It was hauntingly beautiful. You know, you feel all that sadness in the first openings, and then the hope that glimmers through at the end. Just beautiful. What did you think, Lord?
He's had some very strong imagery. This is one of my. This is one of her better poems, I think. Here we have a woman raped by a vile soul. You know, her normality is destroyed. She's in that twilight of neither dead nor alive, with wounds so strong that they can be felt like others, wounds so strong that she feels that every piece of her is bereaved. And grief so strong the sea has heard her internal cries, and they are burns so strong that not even the sweetest breeze of wind can help. But the muse of the heart, and that's beautifully done. But I know the muse of your heart will touch your smile, filled with tears, and the image of her eyes shining again, and her spirit diffusing perfume like wildflowers was also a wonderful image. She's really managed to convey a very deep love, a sweet tenderness for another human being. Very, very well done.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is absolutely beautiful. I like how it seems to be about either another woman or someone not only empathizing, but reaching out to this woman and acknowledging her pain and not saying that the wounds aren't there. The wounds are there, but also saying that, I see a sense of hope for you. I see that this, the strength that you have. I just think it's in a wonderful right all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Lou, what did you think?
This was very well written. When you've been raped, it cuts your mind, your heart, your body, especially when you did not give it freely. There's a difference when you're involved with somebody and you give yourself freely, and then there's a difference when somebody takes. And usually what happens, going along with Pam's comment, is that in time their eyes will shine, but they can't see that right now. In time, their hearts will hold others that have gone through the same pain, and they will encourage them, because that's what we do. We teach each other to love and support each other to survive. The whole point is to teach each other to survive, to find an outlet, and to write this, and to help all those that need help and guidance. This is a beautiful poem.
Thank you, Lee. Great comment. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I agree. This is it's a very compelling write there, the whole notion of the raped woman there and trying to situate, her darkness and trying, to situate in that as another woman, which I cannot being a man. But I do appreciate the thing that she says in each and every one of these lines just about, she says, she starts off with, I feel, I know. It almost seems to me that perhaps there is a sense of not just relating to the character, or actually not the character, but the person that she's right about, as a woman. But perhaps she's also, I don't know if this is an experience that she herself has gone through, one way or the other, but I just thought it was a very beautiful write. Exquisite. I agree with what Laurent said, those last lines there, the spirit with the perfume and wildflowers was very exquisite. It was a beautiful write. Painful, but beautiful.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, Frank, I have another one of yours, and you have a SoundCloud for this one.
Oh, I do. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. Go ahead.
Mi amor, your tulip lips are like the canvas on my painting, and my sensual strokes are like the brush of Picasso. Your kisses are my sultry satiety of profound pleasures, dripping like the maple syrup of a hot, seductive taste. Their surface enraptures me within the gentle shiver. The soft skin and warm creases are my sweet nectar. Their shade are my pretty plums to suck their fluid juice. Their attraction seduces me to ungloss your sexy lipstick. The moonlight then speaks a tempting tongue of sensuality. The night reveals the sparks of pheromones, the purple fireflies. the moisture, the rain, releases its erotic dew as a dance of sweat upon the exotic lips of the Tyrian purple sheets of our exploration. I want to sip from the wine and intoxicate me with its flavor, drench in the provocative texture, tickling me like tender paisley silk, and plunge deep into the ocean of my insatiable thirst tonight, satisfying the urge of my lips to refresh them in your lust. Behind the mystery of the Venetian velvet curtains, you are the forbidden fruit of my sinful Jezebel, the violet petals to my delicious desires, undressed with the tasty touch of your luscious lips in purple kiss. Oh, your kiss is a signature, igniting the notes of a piano. Pretty baby, take me with you upon the purple tide, a passion. Don't have to be rich to be my girl. You don't have to be cool to rule my world. I just want your purple kiss to turn me on. Oh, I just want your purple kiss to turn me on. Mi amor, mi calor, oh la la. In the poem.
Excellent job, Frank.
Oh, I appreciate that. I didn't know you were going to put this up. I sent you this one because I didn't know, because I think Lou said something about that the other one couldn't upload. So I said, oh, I'll go ahead and send this one here because I didn't have time to look for another one. So.
Yeah, no, it was perfect. Appreciate it. Thanks, Frank. But I really liked it. You know, it was epic in its storyline, you know. You do
based
such
on
a lot of
Prince. It's based on Prince, the song Kiss, the old song there.
Yeah, that was wonderful. Great job, Frank. Pam, what did you think?
Thank you.
You bet.
This is a wonderful sensual rite. Just beautiful use of imagery. I like how, as always, you balance the background music with the reading. And I really like the line, behind the mystery of the Venetian velvet curtains, you are the forbidden fruit of my sinful Jezebel. You really captured the essence of the kiss and the essence of Prince's music. Just an excellent rite all the way through and very well done.
No, I appreciate that.
Great.
I forgot to mention, this is for, I believe, the contest, Lou's contest, The Art of Seduction. I think this is the poem that was entered into that one.
Yeah. Yep. And, Louie, what did you think?
Hot damn! I don't think I heard you read the rest of the poem because I was still stuck up on the top part. this is so deeply visual. There's shades of my pretty plums to suck their fluid juice. Their attraction seduces me to ungloss your sexy lipstick. And then this part, I think I stopped breathing. The moonlight then speaks a tempting tongue of sensuality. The night reverses the spark of pheromones of purple fireflies. And the moisture of the rain releases. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm still up there. I don't even know if I heard you read the rest of the poem.
I'm still on the hot damn part.
Oh, I thought you were lost in the music there. I thought it was the music.
No. That just made it worse.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay, everybody. I posted the next poem up. It's by Martha Gettle, and she has a SoundCloud. So I will play that.
Don't Do Stupid by Martha Gettle. I am getting smarter every day, learning new lessons on the way. Trust when it has not been earned is a real good way to get burned. So don't say that you love me. I'm not the trusting girl I used to be. I'm not waiting here in line to be made a fool of this time. I will not trust, not anymore, not the way I did before. So don't expect me to fall for you. I don't do stupid like I used to. I don't do stupid, not anymore. I won't fall in love like I did before. I had a good teacher from the start. He taught me how to avoid a broken heart. Now that I have come awake, I'm not waiting here for my heart to break. I'm no longer walking down that road, not reaping seeds I never sowed. So no, I will not trust anymore, not like the way I did before. So don't expect me to fall for you. I don't do stupid like I used to. So come to me with a heart that's true. We might build a life made for two, but if blind trust is what you're looking for, I just don't do stupid anymore.
I really like that. I don't do stupid anymore. You know, we all grow up and out of that at some point, hopefully. But I thought it was a wonderful job. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. They had, you know, that line, I don't do stupid anymore, great humor, a wonderful song. And what's really a joy to me is to see how Martha has just grown as with her and become bolder. Like, at first she wasn't making SoundClouds, then she made them, and this is the first one I heard where, because she always seems to write a lot of songs. But when she makes SoundClouds, she would just read them. And this is the first time I've heard her sing. And I am just absolutely delighted. It is so much fun. She has a perfect voice for this kind of sassy country-style song. Mm-hmm. And just a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Louie, what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, Martha left a while, and then she came back, so I'm happy to see her, too, like Pam. It's the first time I've got to hear her sing, and I enjoyed it. She does a fantastic job in singing, that heartbreak country song, that I hope I'm learning. And, it's better than throwing rotten eggs and telling them to get. So eventually, hopefully, I'll get smarter.
Great comment, Lydia. And Frank, what did you think?
Yeah, I gotta agree. I give her kudos there for singing. Sometimes when you do SoundClouds, you have no idea if they're gonna work or not. Even when you read them, let alone sing them. I thought the message here was very simplistic. It's very it offers a message here which is very relatable. When you're in relationships, and if you don't appreciate someone else, you don't realize the importance, the relevance of that person there, and she's telling you, don't be stupid, walk away, which it can be hard, but there is always a message to something, and this poem has that three words there, don't do stupid. I really did. This poem really just hit, pounded on that message there. It was talking to me there.
Yeah. Well said. Thank you, Frank. Great
You're
comment.
Welcome,
okay, I have the next poem up. It's by Captain B2 and Tia the Sound God. If I can find it here. There we go.
Mono no aware. Mono no aware is a Japanese term for the awareness of impermanence or transience of things. Poem. A tiny jewel grows within. Mid colorful petals, it is concealed. It waits until the layers thin as in its lantern to be revealed. The flower expires to do its duty, its role in life to give full measure to bring to bear this wee red beauty. The lacy petals reveal its treasure. It has a gift that it must share. Nature's artwork is its goal. The blossom helps to bring to bear the concealed part of a lovely whole. And so is art the human jewel, the hidden seed that we all carry. It dwells in the spirit. It is its rule and would be our life's commentary. Our art is to be created, then set free. It gives our transient existence heart. It lives within us. It is our key, and we continue through our art. This tiny jewel grows within, mid our existence. It is concealed. It waits until our mantle thins, as in our life it is revealed. Thus we compose, we gather reflection, our thoughts a minuscule gem, our life's journey introspection. It's our existence diadem. So thus, through art, death deals no finality, for in creating, we gain immortality. End poem. Author's note. Mono no aware sits at the heart of the Japanese relationship with life and death. This expressive concept is the wisdom of recognizing beauty in each facet of experience, even in what we may perceive as negative in nature and ourselves, such as sorrow, weakness, simplicity, loneliness, and death. While we might associate beauty with births and youth, without their corresponding shadows of age and decay, these positives lack brilliance. Mono no aware is being both saddened by and appreciative of transience. It is the quietly elated, bittersweet feeling of having been witness to the dazzling circus of life, even as we watch, knowing that none of it can last. From Ikigai and Other Japanese Words to Live by Mary Fujimoto.
Beautiful. That was such a touching poem. Excellently written and wonderful SoundCloud as well. I really liked it a lot. I liked the rhyme to it, you know, it had a great rhyme and meter to it. Fantastic job, Bobby. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, Bobby did do a wonderful job with this one, with the rhyme and with the imagery, but most important with the spiritual message within the message of, you know, that when we create as artists and poets and we leave our creations behind, or even if all we create, you know, it's, good memories for people. We leave a part of ourselves behind. We're always in existence. So I really liked that message within this poem. It's beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Louie, what did you think?
You know, this is one of my favorite poems that Bobby has written. You know, because there's a famous cellist here by the name of Zool Bailey, and when there were things going on in which she's talking about, like, you know, things that are going on in our life and they're not working out for us,
Well, what did you learn? What did you fix? What did you grasp? You know, and that's the nature of things. You know, we all go through life, and everything that you see on the outside is just what's on the outside. But what's in the mind and what's, you know, like Pam was bringing out, our poetry, our words, our lyrics, our trials and what we go through, the experience, that is our art. That is the key, because no longer are our answers concealed. You know, of course, some things take time, but we grow. And what is it that we learned? What did we learn in everything? And just like every seed that falls from a plant and it dies in the wintertime, it regrows back in the springtime. So, you know, what did traditions did we teach our family and friends so that when we leave, we are still there with them? You know, our mantle may be thin because we all pass away and die, but traditions don't end if you teach your children. They get carried on by their children. This could go in so many different directions. This is an excellent poem.
Great comment, Louie. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I know time's pressed here, but this poem here really, really is a powerful, powerful. It's a beautiful right here. It has a sense of the Japanese philosophy here, the Orient philosophy here. And I like the whole notion of what she uses, the metaphors for the flower. I do believe that, you know, that without birth, there is no death, you know, and if there is a rebirth, there has to be a form of death. And to use that analogy, how the flowers themselves, they are, how they blossom, you know, and then they decay, but then they recycle afterwards, you know, they blossom again. It is really the epitome of our own, you know, essence as human beings. You know, we go through a different cycle, but it's not really that different or that distant. So this is a very haunting thing, that just to acknowledge that, you know, but it is reality. And I thought you did a wonderful job here. This was a beautiful poem, beautiful, beautiful. I wish she was on. It's a shame that she couldn't call in tonight.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so thank you guys for those beautiful comments. And I've got the next poem up. It's called Beginning to End by Wichita Rick. Beginning to End. In the beginning, we never see a future or how our beginning is an unknown journey. Messes made of bodies, minds, and souls. Even with the best intent, we lose ownership. Indecisive, we pay a daily rent. Mind's eye open with blinders. Mass infusion removes 20/20 vision. Perception impossible to visualize when retention is blurry. Hard to nurture an unknown future. Fail to feel gain when part of our conception of the addiction is the pain. Withdrawal is easier than trying to comprehend. Living in an ocean, always floundering. Current washes us out in a foamy flow. Living a ride against the tide. Perpetual sinking, easier on water that is murky. New friendship to replace hardship, examples of if listening. Best result is strength gained from sharing pain. First truths hardest to transcend. Making our day to day, making our way day by day. Open-minded policy is here to stay. Flexible function permanent, not stuck at the junction. Moving on easiest. And not frozen in worry. First step hard and largest, short path still open, large maps, reading them becomes part of our internal ascent. Hard to heal a wound until it's found. Injuries remain open when always removing the stitches, discovering best part of recovery. Hard to listen when always apprehensive. Shell hard to break when feeling everyone is on the take. True freedom found when knowing we can become our own best friend. Sense of self hardest to find is felt rather from words or from books on a shelf. Learn as we go, finding something we did not know. Basic lessons now part of a self-preservation. Life can no longer be taken as humbly. And his author's note says, from having thought of my own sobriety, drug-free birthday,
The lessons from this are freedom and honesty with myself. I admit I started as more of what I still want to show in prose, not to read like a how-to guide, but what has long-term sobriety shown me. I often take life as a lesson, and this has been the biggest one. Wow, that's haunting. Yeah, you know, I really like it. You know, it hit the nail on the head as far as the struggle of life goes and living, and especially with addiction. So I thought that was well done. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, first of all, congratulations to him on his sobriety birth date. That's a big step to take. And I like how he writes from his own personal experience. And it isn't preachy. It isn't giving anyone a lecture. It's just talking about the things that he's learned. I really like Mind's Eye Open with Blinders, Mask, Infusion, Remove, 20/20 Vision, Perception, Impossible, Visualize, When with Attention is Blurry, Hard to Nurture, an Unknown Future. And then I also like First Step Hard and Largest Short Path to Open, Large Mask, Reading Them Becomes Part of Our Internal Ascent. That's an excellent write all the way through and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Louie, what did you think?
What I liked about this is it was like reading a diary almost, or I could actually see myself sitting down at a bus stop and talking to Wichita Rick, you know, about this stuff. You know, I find that, you know, from the beginning to the end, we end up learning what makes us happy. You know, we can get our highs another way. They don't have to be that way, whether it's liquor, drugs, booze, whatever it is that you're doing. You know, there are other ways to get your highs, and they can be just as dangerous. So, you know, you have to really think about it. And, you know, you have to really visualize your life, what your life is going to be, who you're going to be with, you know, the thoughts that come out. And I find that friendships do replace hardship, because we learn to listen. We learn to give each other strength, because we learn to share our pain. Some of the things that we've gone through, you know, you really don't know what people go through or what they've experienced until you talk to them, unless they talk to you personally or they write something about it. And then it makes you appreciate this person more for sharing. And I want to thank him for this, because sometimes talking to somebody, it helps us heal our wounds. And for me, that was part of my recovery. This was fantastic. I really enjoyed this, Wichita Rick. Good read, Gray.
Thank you, Lou. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I think this poem, I agree with what's been said already. I think the hardest part is to admit you know, to your own flaws, your own imperfections, and to your own demons, and to a certain extent. This poem is more like a confessional poem for me, but it really hits the chord. I mean, I haven't gone through the code experience as what is written here, but I don't think I need to go to that degree. I can understand as a human. I can certainly relate to toils and hardships, you know. And I like the positivity in the end of this message of being aware. You know, sometimes we either learn, like my old man used to say, we either learn the easy way, or we learn the hard way.
Learn the hard way, yeah.
Yes, and this poem here is really acknowledging the struggle that he's had to go, you know, just to go through. So it is a very, very, very powerful piece. I commend him as well.
So, Frank, did your dad ever tell you cabeza de burro?
Yeah, well, somewhat he did. Cabeza de huevo.
I'm joking. No te creas.
No, he did. Oh, no, he did.
That is a saying my mom says. Cabeza de burro means it means you're stubborn like a bull.
But you know one thing really brief. He was right. You know, when you're young, you don't listen to your parents. You know, you don't listen to what they say. But when you're older and you're roughly around, you know, that age, when you get older, of course, as an adult, it starts making sense to you.
Yes.
So I would say I am somewhat of a cabeza de burro. All right, take care. I know that you're on your last. I know it's about almost over, so go ahead, Greg. I apologize.
Okay.
No, it's okay. I appreciate you all calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, poets. Have a great night.
Yeah, and just to let you know, if Gray, we had a lot of poetry, so if Gray didn't get to them all to tonight, and depending on how much he has on this, a Saturday for his show, some might be read there, but they will be carried over to next Monday. So everybody's poem will be read.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, everyone.
Gray, Pam, Laurent, and Frank. Good night, everybody. Love you guys.
Take care.
Love you too. Good night.
Love you too.
Take care.